The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Spurs in for Paul Feinbaum. 2 hours down, 2 hours to go. Some great guests, but we get a lot of your phone calls coming up over the next two. We see Mike, Doc, and Sarge all on hold. The number, as always, 855-242-PAUL. That's 855-242-7285. We saw A&M was up 4-0 on Arkansas, who had added a run and then a go-ahead grand slam in the bottom of the seventh. That game right now over at Hoover Met. Top of the eighth, duck on the pond there for Texas A&M, looking to continue their role to be postseason bound. And we saw LSU take out South Carolina in a little brunch baseball over in Hoover earlier today, 10-3. Big fifth inning for those LSU Tigers. 855-242-PAUL is that number. Doc is in Alabama. Welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show. What's up, Doc?
Hey, how are you, Peter?
Doing good, man.
You have made the question, you know, who could be the next one, Georgia, LSU, or Alabama. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not saying that Auburn will be, but what I'm saying is, you know, a lot of people, you know, they look at the transfer portal and they say, well, these guys are leaving because they didn't get playing time because they're not the best, or they've got two or three folks ahead of them. And that may be the case in the system that they were in. But I take a look at, you know, Bo Nix when he transferred from, you know, Auburn to Oregon. You know, look how well he did. You know, it could just be that we weren't running, you know, the scheme that fit what he could do. Mm-hmm. You know, now a lot of that, granted, has to do with the fact our O-line was absolute garbage. I mean, it was. And anybody that says otherwise is lying. But, you know, I'm just saying I can see the case where, you know, Auburn could make a run. I can't say they will. You know, I don't know anybody that really can, but I can say I could see them going, I could see them going far into it. And I just think Hugh Freeze has come in with an iron fist and has absolutely, you know, laid down his expectations and has, at least to the Auburn fan base, lived up to what he said he was going to do.
Doc, I'm glad you bring that up because I this is the first time I can remember. And it's been a while. We launched the network in 2014, so you're coming up on 9 years now. That I have seen this much maybe excitement and this much belief and this much alignment around Auburn football. I think what's hurt Auburn football over the last 4 or 5 years was always this kind of, is Gus going to be back? Is Gus not going to be back? We want these people want to fire Gus. These people don't want to fire Gus. And then when Brian Harsin came in, everybody was like, what the hell was that? And then everybody was, you know, saying, all right, we need somebody new. I told the story yesterday. I was at the Regents Tradition in the Pro-Am, Doc, and the amount of War Eagle I heard when Hugh Freeze was walking by, I don't recall that. I can't remember the last time that we had people genuinely all going in the same direction and how they felt about Auburn football. Now, the product might not be there right now, Doc, but I can see that there is hype and there is belief, and that's a hell of a currency in college football.
Well, and you take what Cadillac did. You know, you get the Auburn fan base rallied behind somebody.
Oh,
you know,
is that awesome?
Let's take Cadillac. You know, when he got the fan base rallied, you look at how the players responded to that. You know, we were dead in the water. I mean, I can't say that I saw us winning one more single game. And then Cadillac comes in, gets these players fired up, and he got the fan base fired up. And I fully believe that the fans' reactions, you know, the fan base showing up and showing out the way they did, got those players ready. I remember Friday nights when we'd go to a game and, you know, we'd look over on the sideline. Man, we didn't have anybody there. I'm going to tell you, that resonates with the players. So I fully do, man. I believe Hugh Freeze has got us, you know, I haven't seen the product on the field, but I can feel it moving around how well he's got this fan base fired up.
Doc, thank you for the phone call. 855-242-PAUL is that number. And it does. It feels like there's a circling of wagons around the Auburn faithful, around the community that feels this could be that team, right? And it may not be this year. I've said it. I think that there could be a college football playoff contender next year in 2024, especially when the field opens up a little bit. And that almost this is kind of like a redshirt year for Hugh of figuring out what you have, get your staff together, and get everybody ready to go. And he's not going to say it out loud, but that's really the project that they're trying to work on. Sarge is in Kentucky. Thanks for joining Peter Burns in on the Paul Feinbaum Show. What's up, Sarge?
Peter Burns. We haven't heard from Hugh in Deep Gap for a while. And my main point, I've got two other side points, but Cal is missing his Midas touch. Coach John Calipari, unfortunately, the game has evolved and Cal has not. Only Coach John Calipari can take C.J. Frederick, who is close to a 48% three-point shooter, and over the course of a season, ding his ego, break his confidence, and not use that weapon appropriately. And when we look ahead, 2 years from now, we have zero recruits on the board. As of right now, there's only seven players. We're struggling to fill a roster. Let me repeat that. We are struggling. Kentucky is struggling to put a full squad on the bench for this coming season. There's a rumor that Antonio Reeves might transfer. We just missed on that forward from San Diego State, Keshad Johnson. I mean, we've got Reed Shepherd. He's a hometown hero, God bless him. Lance Ware is going to Villanova. Frederick's transferring to Cincinnati. You know, Wheeler's gone. Damian Collins are gone. I want to say my third point, UK needs to open up booze. They've had a hypocritical stance at football games for several years now. If you're wealthy, you can have it in the boxes. If you're the common folk, forget it. I'm sorry if I'm just rambling, but I know you need to move to other calls. And then lastly, Peter, what do you think about the evolution of the fan experience? I think there's a lot of people. Here's my hypothesis. I think there's a lot of people between my age. I'm a young gray-haired. I'm in my mid-40s. And people that are 2 or 3 years out of school that they would love to go to a game, Peter. They would love to be able to buy a beer, a hot dog, and maybe they want to look at the game on like a screen or from far away, but I don't think they care about sitting in an assigned seat. I think that's an outdated mode of thinking, and I think Ole Miss experimented with this, but I'd love to see Kentucky or other schools really think differently about the fan experience. You know, what about augmented reality? What about virtual reality? Those are things that I think innovative schools, you know, they're already thinking about those types of fan experiences that people 10 years from now, 5 years from now, they're going to want.
Sarge, thank you for the phone call. A lot to unpack there. And I think the idea to get a ticket, even at Commonwealth or Kroger Field, and to find a ticket, if you're a young kid, unless you're a student, it's tough because they're expensive, right? We know that. There's only X amount of games to go to, and especially if you're an 8-game conference schedule, there's not a whole heck of a lot of great home games, so those tickets are going to be at an abundance. It's tough. I go back and look at what the Colorado Rockies did, is that basically they had these party decks. You know, they had spaces where, hey, the football stadium is the place where everybody hung out, okay? You could buy beer, you could have a good time, and yeah, you watch the ball game. There's going to be people that are diehard fans, and if you want a seat, boom, we'll give you a great seat in the house. But are there going to be more of these opportunities to where you can kind of tailgate inside the stadium and hang, right? Standing room only. Dallas does that with the Cowboys Stadium. Perhaps. Maybe that would make a whole lot more sense. And I think you're right. I think the reason why they've never, in some schools, have not allowed alcohol sales is because they're trying to protect their premium seating. They can't go to a client and say, hey, I need you to pay X amount of dollars to be in this box because you get alcohol. Because if not, then they say, well I'm not going to pay that obscene amount of money when I could just buy beer in a lot cheaper of a seat. I think that's the background for it. But you got to get with the times. I'm a firm believer. Everybody has done it. I was worried at some point that it might be a little too much, but the schools have done a pretty good job. We haven't seen any issues with it. And for Coach Cal, it's a monster season. You're not the only person at Kentucky that's freaking out right now about what's happening with basketball, especially when you see guys like Eric Musselman and others that are doing a hell of a job finding a way each and every year to reinvent their roster and go deeper than the Wildcats. Mike is in New Jersey. Thanks for joining us here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. What's up, Mike?
How you doing, guys?
Doing good, bud. What are you up to?
Oh, Robbie, I'm just hanging out. I have a question. Well, not a question, more just a statement about LeBron James. I want to know, well, first off, he prints me a lot of money when it comes to betting on him. Because I know when they're down 3-0 in the playoffs that he's going to, you know, be playing like a superstar that he is. But, you know, he doesn't show up every game. So I want to know how he gets away. Why is he the GOAT? Why do people say he's this, that, and the other thing? When he really doesn't try 100% of the time when he plays. I just think, I don't know if you watch too much NBA, but I just feel like he's really not giving his all every game. And I know he's old. I feel like his whole career, it was this first. He'll turn it on and off. I don't know.
Mike, thank you for the phone call. And yes, I did not know we'd be taking an NBA LeBron James call here on the Paul Feinbaum Show, but the callers always never cease to amaze me here. Listen, the thing about LeBron is, I mean, hell, he just had, what, 31 points in the first half of a game? I mean, like, the guy's 38 years old. I don't know what else you want him to do. Like, he shows up. The problem is that LeBron makes so much money right now, and then if you have Anthony Davis on that team, that basically kills you for your salary cap of who else you can have, right? Even if they're in the luxury cap and how much money that they can spend, LeBron and AD can only do so much. Then they run into a great Nuggets team, which no one talks about. They're fantastic. And so, again, I think there's some realness to LeBron retiring. I actually would not be surprised if he says, I'm going to retire. I'm going to watch my kid play Bronny, who just signed at USC. I'm going to take a year off, relax, train, and then come back and try to play with Bronny in the NBA. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Where's Jim in Tuscaloosa? He kicked the hornet's nest yesterday and got us going. Larry and Shelby as well, too. I-Man. 855-242-PAUL is that phone number. We'll talk a little bit about who is next outside of Georgia. We return here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Burns in for Paul Feinbaum. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. That's 855-242-7285. We continue to roll on. How about this? A&M ends up giving a go-ahead grand slam in the seventh inning. They have just added a run to tie it. We are bottom of the ninth right now between the Aggies and the Razorbacks over at Hoover Met. So we'll see what happens in that game. Of course, we got LSU taking out South Carolina earlier. A little brunch baseball over Hoover Met, 10-3. Jay Johnson's 400th career win. We had Tommy White go 2-for-4. I think the big story that's brewing out of Hoover right now is the fact that LSU may have found a third pitcher. Ty Floyd's been okay, pretty solid as their number two. But as their number one, Paul Skeens, arguably the best pitcher in college baseball, he's going to be fantastic. Jay Johnson's probably going to pitch him tomorrow. But Thatcher Hurd gave 5 1/3 today, and it was very impressive from him. Gave up a home run to Ethan Petrie, but he was solid. Here's what Dylan Cruz had to say a little earlier, arguably the best baseball player in college right now, about that victory.
Offensively, 12 hits and 10 runs, and part of that was the guy joining us now, Dylan Cruz. And welcome, Dylan. Dave Neal, Ben McDonald, thanks for joining us. What's the attitude of this team like in postseason baseball? I mean, do you have to kind of maybe flip the script a little bit now that it really means something?
Yeah, I think, you know, with this team, there's, you know, I think we're going right after guys in the postseason, you know. Not waiting around, just going right after the team. So, Dylan, great job today by the guys.
Dylan, how have you been able to, and how have you handled all the pressure about, you know, the hype and going to be a high draft pick and LSU number one in the country for the longest time? Have you enjoyed this year as you thought you would?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I can't put words to it, honestly. It's this is the best time of my life right now. I'm enjoying every second of it. I mean, I love wearing purple and gold every day. It's awesome.
So you think the decision, I mean, you were going to be a first rounder out of high school, and you said, no, I think I want that college experience. All the young guys out there, you would recommend the college experience?
100%. 100%. It gets you ready for the next level. Like I said, it was the best decision I've ever made, and, you know, I definitely don't think it's something that you should skip out on.
It's been great. I mean, that's about as good of a commercial that you can cut for college baseball and SEC baseball, and the fact that you got a guy that could play in Major League Baseball right now. I mean, I don't think that there's a doubt with the way that he's raking, almost batted 500 all season long, that he could play in the bigs. He'd probably play in AA, if not AAA ball right here, right now. But the fact that we got more and more teams. Hell, LSU's pitching coach came for the Minnesota Twins. Okay? And that's why you're starting to see this transfer portal. It worked out well. Tommy White came from North Carolina State. You see Paul Skeens came from Air Force. So it's not just football when we talk transfer portal, guys being able to make an adjustment and put a Band-Aid on what you need. LSU needed starting pitching. Boom, they got it. They need a slugger. Boom, they got it. And so the transfer portal continues to help the SEC overall as a whole. And that's why it's so important to figure out, how is it going to be Hugh Freeze, right? Does Lane Kiffin's, you know, portal king, does that help? You know, Josh Heupel adding guys into them, is that going to help coming up this year? We'll see. 855-242-PAUL is that phone number. This is kind of crazy if you see the story that's brewing right now with the University of Georgia. I don't know how many people saw this, but yet again, there was another Georgia football player that ended up getting in trouble. You got Rosemary Jack Saint, wide receiver, ends up getting arrested for reckless driving just a couple of days ago. And you're starting to look at this, and everybody thinks that it's going to be Georgia, and rightfully so. This team is so good. The schedule is so easy now that Oklahoma's no longer on that schedule, and they can keep getting the recruiting classes. However, the only way that's going to destroy this program is if something internally happens, and we've already seen this. We had a tragedy in Athens, and yet it didn't sink in with these players. And Kirby can have the best recruiting classes that he wants, but at some point, are you losing the focus of this team? And I swear, I'm a firm believer in the fact that if you don't assign some type of serious punishment for these young men and women that make these mistakes, how is anybody going to learn? They're going to come out and say, well, we're going to handle it internally after we do an investigation. I understand that. But if you're Kirby Smart right now, you have to understand, you don't recruit, you select players. And your job is to say, this is a privilege to play football for the University of Georgia. And if you can't do the right things, you're not going to play. Very curious to see how Kirby handles the suspension or punishment for Jack Saint because of this. Because this is not just one issue. This is several issues that's streaming from Athens. And they need to nip that in the bud before the season starts, no doubt, if they want to continue to be a powerhouse in college football. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Speaking of that, we'll talk about a little bit of upcoming football season, something about the college football quarterbacks that I'm a little worried about what we're going to get going forward, and you can call your shot. Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Burns in for Paul Feinbaum. We've got extra innings over in Hoover. 5-5 as Texas A&M added a home run at the top of the ninth to bring up a little bonus baseball over at the Hoover Met. So a big day of baseball coming up a little bit later. Florida and Alabama, probably a bunch of you are listening to us and headed out to that game. Should be a good one. Alabama trying. I mean, they win this game, they could basically make sure that they're going to be hosting a somewhat of a regional there in Tuscaloosa. Big other news we've been discussing, Florida and Georgia have extended their contract to play the world's largest outdoor cocktail party in their annual rivalry game in Jacksonville through 2025. And I remember Kirby had kind of gone back and forth saying, hey, I kind of want that to a different place. I want that back at home. Basically, they're going to be redoing a little bit of the facilities out there in Jacksonville eventually, but they're going to put that on pause. So right now, you're going to see at least through 2025, Jacksonville going to be the home of Florida, Georgia, or Georgia, Florida, as much as you like to call it. 855-242-PAUL is that phone number. That's 855-242-7285. I am looking forward to that. I would like to see Florida and Georgia move to home and home. I think Kirby does have a point when it comes down to it. Says that's a recruiting weekend. But again, it works pretty well, truthfully, when it comes down to it for the Georgia Bulldogs. They're able to go out there in Jacksonville. They've had a ton of success as of late. So trust me, it's fine. Leave it the way it is. Jim in Tuscaloosa, thanks for joining us. What's up, buddy? You kicked the hornet's nest yesterday, man. I appreciate it.
Well, Peter Burns. I got, you know, let's change. Maybe we need to change the subject. God, I don't think anybody's much interested in baseball. I'm a baseball player. That's my sport, but my main sport, but anyway, I don't, you know, if, what about this, Peter? I'm trying to get something going here, but I really mean this. What do you think about Tiger and not being able to play? He's the best golfer that ever lived, in my opinion, and his son, Charlie. Why don't somebody get him in a tournament and let him ride in the cart? You know, they can't ride in the cart. But I think this is insane for Tiger not to be able to get involved anymore. I don't understand it. What do you think?
I think he's banged up. Like you remember that?
Oh, I know he's banged up. Peter, yeah. I know he's banged up.
He ain't gonna.
If he can ride a car, he can still.
He's got way.
I think he can be
way too much pride to ever ride in the golf cart. You think? Could you see Tiger doing that, Jim? Do you think Tiger would ever go like the John Daly route or any of these guys? Like, you know, remember Casey Martin back in the day? That got a PGA Tour exemption to ride in the golf cart because he was injured. Like, could you ever see Tiger doing that?
You're stepping over my car. I mean, you step like. Well, I'm trying to tell you. I know. No, I'm not. You misunderstood me. I know he's not going. He doesn't want to ride in a cart playing tournament golf. But I'm talking about, like, for example, a couple of years ago, he and his son Charlie played in a tournament. Some guy, and they were the wave of the tournament because, of course, he rode in a cart doing that. It was fine. Him and his son Charlie. But yeah. I mean, somebody. I just, you know, I don't understand why people don't invite him to do that again or something. I mean, I'd rather watch. Listen, I know where I know golf, Peter. I play good golf, and I know golf. I know ball. I know golf, and I'm telling you, people are interested in watching Tiger Woods more than any of those jerks, and I don't like them. I don't even like Justin Thomas. I just don't like. But Tiger is the man. I'm telling you, he's the guy. You know that. Come on, Peter.
Listen, I'm with you, Jim. I mean, there's nobody that moves the needle more. I'd argue
he moves the moon like I'm moving on the radio, except he moves even better.
You might be of equals. What Tiger Woods is to the game of golf, Jim in Tuscaloosa might be to the Paul Feinbaum show as far as getting people fired up and rocking and rolling. I want to get your thoughts on this, Jim, because you're always opinionated and you'll bring it. I get a sinking feeling that next week in Destin They're going to say we're going to stay with eight conference games. Does that sit well with you?
Let me think about it, because, see, I'm not involved with ball. I just gave it. I don't care about it. But let me think about that. Does it sit well with me that you think they're going to stay with eight rather than go to nine? Why do you think that?
I believe that they're going to look at it. I think you're going to have a bunch of teams that look at it and go, if we're not going to get paid a lot more money than that is already coming in, why would I purposely want to play another SEC game? Why would I want to go up against what's guaranteed the best conference schedule? Right.
I agree with that, but it seems like they're being forced. Who's the one pushing that? I haven't kept up with it that much, but I heard Feinman talking about it a little bit. Who is the main one pushing the nine? It's not Saban. Is it Saban?
Well, I think Saban in the past has said, yes, I'd like to play as many conference games, which makes sense, Jim, because the better coaches with the better teams.
I think I do remember him
promoting it. Yeah. Listen, I think the fans want it, okay? Now, but the question is are you going to have the commissioner come out there, and is it his place to say we're going to do nine? I don't know. I mean, the commissioner has done a good job of being pretty even-handed to say we're going to let you guys. That's not my decision. You guys are going to vote on it. Nine conference games would be great for the fans. It'd be great for television. But at some point, it's the schools that are going to vote, and I think the schools are going to vote to stay and remain at eight conference games.
Well, it makes sense from the standpoint that most of those schools won't even save a few clean puffs on the schedule, and and it's hard to win in the SEC every game. I mean, it's just you got to have a powerhouse, and obviously Georgia's got that now. But I don't know. I don't know how to answer that, Peter, because I just don't keep up with it enough. I just don't know. But I think it ought to stay at eight. I really do. I've thought about it that much. I think it ought to stay where it is.
There it is.
But I doubt that it will.
Listen, it's all about money, right? How much money can you actually get in there? And I think that's what they're trying to get. They're trying to extract even a little bit more.
Hey, by the way, I got a news flash for you. Our man was seen picking up a telephone. So hold your horses. Let's see what he can bring today. He brings it now. I mean, he brings it, doesn't he?
I think he's preparing his speech as we speak. Jim, I appreciate you stirring up the hornet's nest for me. Thanks, bud.
All right. Hey, Peter, tell Alyssa I said hello.
I will definitely do that. Alyssa's been crushing our coverage over at the SEC baseball tournament. As she's actually on the set right now, as we got Texas A&M and Arkansas in a little extra innings. Then we got Florida and Alabama coming up at 5:30 Eastern. And, of course, Auburn versus Vanderbilt going to be the nightcap over in Hoover. 855-242-PAUL is that phone number. And the question that's been asked a couple of times on the show today, and I want you guys to get in touch with me here. We feel like it's Georgia's world in college football. Are Alabama fans okay with that? Meaning, does it fire you up, or are there Alabama fans that are sitting here listening to us that believe that the end is near? Not that Nick Saban's going to retire, but that the ship has sailed. Because there was a while for a long time, I can remember in this conference, when it came to Kentucky basketball, it was Kentucky basketball and really nothing else. Arkansas had their runs. Other schools would have their runs. We saw Auburn, of course, Final Four. We saw South Carolina a couple years ago. But it was all Kentucky. And now I feel like that spark is gone from Kentucky basketball. Is that the same feeling Bama fans have? Let me know. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Arthur is in Arizona. Thanks for joining us here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. What's up, Arthur? Arthur, you there, bud?
I'm here. You hear me?
Yeah, I got you loud and clear, man.
All right, I'm calling from Scottsdale, Arizona. I went to University of Georgia. In fact, the Georgia golf team is out here. They're playing in the tournament. They actually were at my club yesterday practicing, Desert Mountain Golf Club in Scottsdale, Arizona. But the reason they're going to go to nine games, you have two more teams coming in. You have Oklahoma and Texas coming into the conference. Mm-hmm. You want to see good football. You want to see some good rivalry matches. If you have nine SEC teams, you can do it. If you have eight teams, you cannot do it. Eight games, rather. So I think they're going to go nine. It's better for the game. It's better for the fans. Look what Georgia has this year. Ball State. Yeah. They got UAB, they got Tennessee Martin. The fans don't want to pay tickets and see that. And I don't think the teams want to play against them. I think nine-game schedule is in the box. That's going to happen with the addition of – definitely with the addition of Oklahoma and Texas.
I hope you're right, Arthur. I hope that Greg Sankey looks at every single one and says, hey, as much as these fans support you, we need to do this. We need to have it. But I'm not quite sure if that's going to be the case. I still think that there's going to be teams that sit there. And you're right. I would be upset, Arthur, if I'm a season ticket holder, and I've talked to season ticket holders at Alabama, I've talked to season ticket holders at Georgia, they're like, it's not cheap. They're not giving away these tickets. And then there's a personal seat license. There's all these fees that are involved. And they go, well, how many good games am I going to get? Arthur, not many, right?
The schools will end up getting more money from TV because they'd be better games.
Right. I don't disagree, but here's where that – you just nailed it, Arthur. I'm so glad you brought up the schools will get more money. That's what this comes down to. Basically, I think everybody would be fine with the 8 or 9 games, but what they're going to say is, are we going to get more money, right? All of this is about money. The Pac-12 is worried about their television deal. It's because about money. Same thing with the ACC. They're all trying to leave because they don't feel like they're getting enough money. What's happening is that we've already got a contract for SEC to go to ESPN, and they're going to make X amount of dollars. And they're going to say, well, that's X amount of dollars based on an 8-game schedule. If you want me to play 9, we'll pony up. And if they don't get the same amount of money, they're going to go, well, why would I go 9? That's a disservice to the fans. But that's the reality of the situation we're in, Arthur. Arthur, by the way, playing in a desert mountain, which is a great golf course. I think it's Comanche and Cochise. Are those the two courses over there, Arthur?
Yeah. So the Georgia team was here yesterday. Mm-hmm. They were playing the back tees, where they call the Nicklaus tees. It's equivalent to the pro course, you know, any pro course. And these kids ain't it up, shooting 66, 67.
Hmm.
You know, they were terrific. And they go play now in
Greyhawk.
For Thompson Peak. Yeah, Greyhawk, yeah.
Yeah, they'll play Greyhawk, the NCAA tournament. And one of my favorite coach names and favorite people in the SEC, the golf coach at Georgia is named Coach Hack.
I met him years ago down there in Athens when I was playing golf over at the Athens Country Club. He was there. I met him many years ago.
He's a great dude. Arthur, thank you so much for the phone call. Thank you for listening to us over out west. It opens up another line, 855-242-PAUL is that phone number. That's 855-242-7285. Talking a little bit about 8-game versus 9-game conference schedule. And listen, there's people of importance that are listening to this program every single day. They want to know what you have to think about it. Give us a shout, 855-242-PAUL. Peter Burns in for Paul Finebaum.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Peter Burns in on the Paul Finebaum Show. Your phone calls, 855-242-PAUL is that number. We are still got a bonus baseball happening at Hoover Met. A&M, Arkansas, bottom of the 10th, two runners on right now for Arkansas. So they are looking to walk it off coming up in a little bit. So we got Mark and we got Matlack. Okay, we got, and Mark, where are you from originally up there in up at ESPN?
So I'm from New York originally.
All right, so you're from New York, and you've never been to SEC country yet, this part of the world?
Correct.
Okay. And Matt, like, you're same thing, right? You're a Canuck, so I don't think you've ventured this out far south and done some of the
same thing. Yeah, so same thing. It's not my background, but I will say I took a spring break car trip once down with a few buddies, and I quickly realized the worst mistake of my life was not going to college in SEC country.
There, that is God honest truth. If you had a chance to walk through the Grove in Oxford, you go down to a game at the Swamp to be in Saturday night in Tiger Stadium, you're not.
Different lifestyle.
It's a different lifestyle. So I'm going to ask y'all, I want your opinion on this. You can weigh in as well, too. 855-242-PAUL, those outsiders that are listening to us, okay? What is the mindset? Do people hate the SEC? Do you Northerners just dislike the SEC? Or is it like you think we're all crazy down here because of how rabid fans we are? Like, how do you characterize us?
I think the fan of the Northeast, which Mark and I are, so I'll speak for them. I think the fan of the Northeast understands the passion that you guys bring to it, because up here, it's flip-flopped. It's not like we don't have major universities, colleges in this part of the country. In fact, there's like five of them in Boston. But the majority of fans up here are wired into pro sports. So frankly, at least for myself, there's a healthy understanding of why college sports, specifically college football, reigns supreme, he tried to say, in that part of the country, because that is life. That's everything. In Boston, for the longest time, it was the Red Sox because they hadn't won. You know, in New York, you could make the case that it was, from any other time, the Yankees or maybe the Giants or the Jets. Like, you know, a lot of sports and teams take their pick or, get a chance finally to be the number one thing. SEC country, Alabama, all these schools that you constantly talk about, and not just the SEC conference, but some of the other major conferences, that is life. And so, therefore, that's what's most important. So I totally understand the passion.
Yeah, I'm always curious about that, because people always ask me about the quote-unquote hashtag, it just means more. And like people, like, I don't know if they necessarily understand it. About when you look at how crazy, how many people are over here going to SEC baseball tournament games, or, you know, softball is out of control, or just, I mean, spring football, just as an overall whole, about how many people and how many great people will call into this show and discuss it, that it is a religion.
Yeah.
855-242-PAUL is that phone number. Dix is in Ohio. Thanks for joining us. What's up, man?
Well, hey, I'm an Ohio State fan, and here's the funny thing. I spent part of my teaching career down in Georgia. And to be honest with you, I'm a person that, you know, I did coach high school football down there as well. I'm a person that followed football, and I knew this, and so I knew who the SEC was. We never had anything against the SEC. I cheered very hard for Georgia versus Notre Dame when Herschel Walker played. I cheered very hard for Alabama versus Michigan until 2006. I'm going to tell you the truth. The honest person in the average sports fan in Ohio, they didn't even know what the SEC was. So there really wasn't any bad feelings toward them until they start kicking our butts in bowl games. And then I think you start hearing this SEC. And then it was sort of a reverse reaction. Then people start. You know, I can't speak for everybody, but I'm saying some people just then started to not like the SEC. Like, I've even heard, God, I never thought this in a million years, Ohio State fans cheer for Michigan versus an SEC school. I'm not one of those. I could never do that. I will cheer for any team on the planet Earth against Michigan. But it's like, I don't really think that they ever really made a big deal about the SEC until the more modern time, until when it all became, you know, the BCS and now the playoffs and stuff, where you heard more about it. I never had anything against the SEC.
It was the dominance, right? Is they were fine when all of a sudden they became, you know, and people hate what they can't conquer, right? I mean, at that point, that's a little bit of it.
And I agree with it, but see, what I would laugh about is you would hear fans from the schools that weren't very good in the SEC. Mm-hmm. You know, like the schools that were in last place and they're chanting SEC. And I wanted to say, you're not Alabama. You're not Florida. It's like, you're now Georgia now. You know what I mean? So it's like the little brother bragging about his big brother beating up some other kid, where the little brother can't do it himself, you know? So that's where I think Ohio State is a little different, because Ohio State's been known for that for years. We don't give a damn about the rest of Big Ten. We are proud to say that. We do not give a damn about the rest of Big Ten. We are for Ohio State and Ohio State only. It's not cold-hearted. It's just our instinct. It's just, we don't care to cheer for Michigan or Purdue or Illinois. We don't care about what they do. And we never will until, I mean, the biggest Appalachian State fans in the world were found in Columbus, Ohio one year. It doesn't make any sense to cheer for our conference members. We don't cheer for a conference. We cheer for the Buckeyes.
Dix, that's a very well put. Now, again, there hasn't been a whole lot of reasons to cheer for anybody other than Ohio State for a long time. Michigan's finally starting to put that together, and we'll see if that comes out, because that's a huge year. This is a huge year for Ryan Day, right? I mean, just the teams that they've had. I can't wait to see how that progresses. Dix, thank you so much for the phone call. 855-242-PAUL is that phone number. We're going to be talking a little bit about LSU football coming up. Jacques Doucette going to join us. And also talking about Georgia football, Georgia-Florida game in Jacksonville for a couple more years. What that means, and will there be any changes? We'll discuss it next here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.